Today's Shi'as Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Lema Katanoi. We had learned in the previous Shi'ar, Shmuel had taught us that if somebody lends somebody else money, no matter how large the loan is, if the loiva gives the malva a mashkin, and the malva loses the mashkin, the loan is cancelled. And the Gemara wants to suggest, lema katanoi, that actually this din that Shmuel just said is the subject of a machloikus tanon. Because it says in a braisa, hamavas chaver al mashkin, if somebody lends someone else money with a mashkin, it's interesting that the ksav soifer points out that the braisa specifically uses the words of hamalvas chaveroi, because this din applies specifically by a Yisrael. The halacha that we're going to discuss in our shiur today, what type of ownership a malva takes in the, what type of ownership that a person who gets a mashkin takes, is only applicable by a Jew. By goyim, meaning that if a Jew gives a goy a mashkin, everybody will be agreeable that the non-Yisroel who receives the mashkin does not in any way become the owner of that mashkin. In fact, I saw a beautiful verse that we find when Tamar was accused of adultery by Yehuda. The pasuk says that when Tamar wanted to prove and say that she was actually pregnant from Yehuda, the pasuk says the words that Tamar said, "Ish asha'ela loy." The person who owns these chesemes, psilim, the different items that Yehuda gave her as a mashkin. What was Tamar trying to say? That I am not to be treated as a bas Yisrael, and therefore, even though you gave me a mashkin, and even though, as we're about to learn, there's an entire discussion, Rabbi Yitzchak, if somebody who receives a mashkin becomes the owner of a mashkin, that's only if the person who receives the mashkin is a Yisrael. But I'm not a Yisrael. I'm not a Yisraeli, says Tamar. And therefore, l'ish asha'elo loy, you Yehuda, who are a Yisrael, remain the owner of this mashkin. L'ish asha'elo loy. So again, says the Gemara, Hamavas Chaver al Mashkin, Vavar al Mashkin, and then the Mashkin got lost. So what is the halacha? Yishavav Yitals Ma'isav, according to the Rebbe Lezer. According to Rebbe Lezer, he swears, and as the Mefarshim explained, his Shvua has two parts to it. One part is that indeed he lost it, and the other part is that he didn't lose it with a Pshia. It wasn't negligence, because Pasha Pshat Rebbe Lezer is saying, he's treated like a Shoy Mechina. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says, Yochesh Shiyoy Meloy, the Loiva could say to the Malva, Kulam Helisani El Al Mashkin, there was a Mashkin attached to the loan, Over HaMashkin, and if you lose the Mashkin, Avdu Ma'asecha, you lose your entire money. Aval, continues the Braisa, HaMalva El Vzuz Bishtar, if somebody lent somebody else money, v'niach mashkin v'yaday, and besides that there's a shtar recording this loan, there's also a mashkin, divrei hakol avad mashkin avad ma'isav. Everybody will agree that if the mashkin is lost, then the loan is cancelled. And as was learned in the previous year, the reason being as follows. There are two purposes of a mashkin. One purpose of a mashkin is to be collateral. And the other purpose of the mashkin is to be a zichron devarim, a record of the loan. So when there is no shtar, when there is no document recording the loan, so we could say that the purpose of the mashkin is just to be a record of the loan. And therefore the mashkin has nothing to do with the actual loan repayment. Of course, all the Rishonim say that if the Malva loses the Mashkin, the value of the mashkin should be deducted from the amount that the loiva owes the malva. But according to Rebbe Lezer, if there is no shtar, we could say that the purpose of the mashkin is to be a record of the loan, and therefore, even if oven hamashkin, the money is still owed. But certainly, says the Gemara in the Braisa here in the Sefer, that if the mashkin, if there is a shtar, so there's a record of this loan. So certainly, the mashkin is not here to record the loan. I already have the shtar, which is the best raya. There, the mashkin is in place of payment, and therefore, everybody will agree, oven hamashkin, oven masaf. So now, the Gemara analyzes this Braisa, particularly in light of what Shmuel says. Hey Chidomi, exactly what is the situation that this price is referring to? Either Shavi, Shir Zuzi, if the Mashkin is equal to the amount of the loan, and the Malva is coming and saying that he lost the Mashkin, so my time to Rebeleza, how could Rebeleza say that the Loiva still has to pay? He lost the Mashkin, the Loiva gave him this collateral, and he certainly owed that money. Elolav, how must we explain the Braisa? It's speaking about a situation, but the loan shavish yezuzi. That means that the loan was $1,000 and the mashkin is $500. And the machloikis of Rebbe Lezer Rebbe Kiva is with the Shmuel Kamifgi. They're arguing exactly over what Shmuel said. Rebbe Kiva holding that if a mashkin is given with no shtar, the mashkin has been given as place of payment, and that there's an understanding between the malva and the loiva that should that mashkin get lost, he won't have to pay the loiva won't have to pay the loan. That's Rebbe Akiva's opinion, because Rebbe Akiva will agree with Shmuel. Whereas Rebbe Lezer says no, the mashkin isn't in place of payment, and if the mashkin is worth less than the value of the loan, yes, we'll deduct the value of the mashkin, but the balance, the loiva will have to pay the malva. Says the Merloi. That's not, and turns out that Shmuel's din is a machlokes of the Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Kiva, and only Rebbe Kiva subscribing to what Shmuel says. Says the Gemara, no, loy. But the loy shavi, if the mashkin is worth less than the loan, again, our example, where the mashkin is $500 and the loan is $1,000, kulam less of the Shmuel, nobody will agree with the opinion of Shmuel. Everybody will agree that only that much of the loan is cancelled, not anymore. Here, says the Gemara B'Hakam B'Shav B'Shezuzi, we're referring to a situation where it is equal in value. So we assume that the mashkin is considered, if it's equal, and the malva lost the mashkin, now the loiva won't have to pay anything, because he essentially already paid by giving the mashkin to the malva. Says Mar, that's not so simple. Because they're arguing over a principle that Rabbi Yitzchak, and as the Mefarshim point out, even though Rabbi Yitzchak was an Amira, and Rabbi Yitzchak was an Amira who lived many years after Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Kiva, it was Rabbi Yitzchak that maybe formulated and expressed this concept that we're now going to discuss. But really, this was a discussion that took place already in the times of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. They're arguing over a principle that Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Menayin lebal choyf shekoyd a mashkin. How do we know that bal choyf is considered the owner of a mashkin? Shenemar, because the pasuk says lecha tiyat stokel. The Torah teaches us that if a loiva gives a mashkin to a malva, and the malva and the item that's given to the malva as a mashkin is an item that the loiva must have. He's a poor person. And the pasuk speaks about, this is his pillow to sleep on, this is what he uses to work with. The halacha is that the malva has to return this item to the loiva every time that the loiva needs it. If it's something he needs by day, he has to return it to him every day. If it's something he needs by night, he has to return it to him every night. And the pasuk says, if he does so, l'chati yitzdaka. The ma'avah will have done something that's considered tztaka. And as Tosfos explains, im ain a kind of tztaka minayin lo. You could only do tztaka with something that you own. That means if I have money, and I know, and I now go and give this money that I own as tztaka, as charity, I've done the mitzvah tztaka. But if I give away someone else's money, I haven't done tzedaka. If the Torah is telling us that the malva, by returning the mashkin to the loiva, is doing tzedaka, it's a raya mitan le bal chayv shukana mashkin, that the bal chayv indeed is the owner of the mashkin. And now the Gemara is suggesting that that is the machloikis of Reb Yitzchak, that is the machloikis of Reb Elezer and Reb Akiva. That means Reb Elezer won't agree with Reb Yitzchak, and Reb Elezer won't hold that the malva holding the mashkin becomes the owner of the mashkin. He won't agree to that. And therefore, according to Reb Elezer, if the malva loses the mashkin, he's no more than a shemichinim. That a shemichinim b'aloch is if he loses something, he's not held responsible. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, will agree with Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that the malva becomes the full-fledged owner, and we're going to discuss this more in a moment, becomes the full-fledged owner of the mashkin, and therefore if he loses it, he lost his own item. What does it mean, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and at this point of the Gemara, it's actually also the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, that the malva becomes the full-fledged owner of the mashkin? So it's machloikas rishayim. Rashi seems to learn that he becomes the full-fledged owner of the mashkin to the degree that he would be even responsible for einsim. If something happened beyond his control, he will be held responsible. That's Rashi's opinion. Other rishayim say it's not that far. He's certainly chai for pshia. He's chai for gneva v'aveda, but he's not chayiv for einsim. What is the basis of the machloikas rishonim? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that what is the halacha if the malva holding the mashkin wants to use the mashkin? Now, of course, he's going to have to deduct the value of using the mashkin. Otherwise, it's a situation of ribbis. If the malva is given the right to use the mashkin and gets paid back his whole loan in full, that's clearly ribbis. But the question is, does he have a right to exercise his right to use the mashkin? Does he have a right to use the mashkin? We're deducting that value. And again, of course, the Mefarshim go on to say, he can only use the mashkin when the loiva doesn't need it, because the Torah says that the loiva comes first. Rashi will hold that he has a right to use it. So since he has a right to use it, that gives him very strong ownership, and he's going to be responsible for einsim. However, the other Rishonim say that even though it's a mashkin, he doesn't have a right to use it until at least the loan is due, and therefore it's not considered that he's the full-fledged owner. Another explanation I saw is that everybody agrees that until the loan is due, he has a right to hold on to the collateral, but he has no right to use the mashkin. The machloikas here is that given the fact that when the loan will become due, if he doesn't get paid by the loiva, he'll have a right to sell that mashkin. So now the question is, the fact that he has that potential right, what kind of ownership does that give him? Does that give him the right to sell, to be considered a full-fledged owner, Rashi says, and be considered, and be chayiv even for einsim? Or his rights are somewhat limited, and that's why the other Rishonim say that he's not going to be chayiv for einsim. Or Rishonim, it's actually Gemara, agree, Gemara Masechta Kedushin, that he could use the money, that he could use the item that he's holding on as a mashkin to Mekadosh Nisha. We know what Allah is. The one can only use something that he owns himself to be Mekadosh Nisha with. Everybody agrees that he has enough ownership in this item. All Rishonim, in the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, agree that he has enough ownership in this item that he could use it to be Mekadosh Nisha. However, the Mefarshim do point out, the Ketzoy says this, all the Mefarshim say this, that the fact that he could use it to be Mekadosh and Isha is not necessarily going to prove that Rabbi Yitzchak is right or wrong. We've explained the Gemara, as Tosfos and most Rishonim explained the Gemara, the fact that the basis for Rabbi Yitzchak's position is the Pasuk L'chati Yitzchak, that he has a right, that the malva giving back the mashkin to the loiva is considered an act of tzedakah. And why is it considered an act of tzedakah? Because it's owned, this is an item that we're saying is owed by the malva. The Ritva, however, has a different way of understanding the Gemara, and it has relevance l'aloch l'maisa. He says The pasuk says before the words of Luchati Yitzdaka, Hashav Tashav Loi Havoit, return to the loiva the item that he needs, the mashkin that he gave you that he needs for basic necessities, Uve Rachacha, and he will bless you for what you have done. Says the Ritva, if this item is not considered owned by the malva, so when the malva gives it back to the loiva, and the loiva thanks him, wouldn't that be considered ribis tvarim? Uve Rachacha, that he's telling him, I'm blessing you for giving me this. So he's blessing him for something which is part of the alvah. And we know that halacha is that ribis tvarim is asr. But if we say, says the Ritva, that the malva is the owner of the mashkin, and the malva is giving the mashkin to the loiva as stalker, you're allowed to thank the person who gives you charity. So the fact that the Torah says, Uvei Rachacha, that the loiva has a right to bless and thank the malva, is a right that the malva is the owner, were he not the owner, the loiva would have no right to Uvei Rachacha, bless you. Which actually opens itself up to a question that many contemporary poskim discuss. We just said, Gemara Masechta Bava Metzi, it teaches us so, that ribis tvarim, thanking somebody for a loan, is included in the Isser of Ribbis. And the question is, if somebody lends you something and you say thank you, what's the halacha? So I saw from Rav Shlomo Zalman Urbach and from Rav Moshe and Lahav de Bechaim L'chaim from Rav Yoshev that all say that saying thank you is not considered Ribbis Tavarim. Because thank you is basic manners. People who talk to each other have to thank each other. And therefore, thanking somebody else will not be considered ribis tvarim. What will, however, be considered ribis tvarim is what our Gemara is teaching us, what Ritva is saying in our Gemara. That a verachacha, let's say you don't just say thank you, because thank you is the way we talk to each other, but more than just saying thank you, the loiva, so to speak, gives a bracha to the malva. He tells him, for example, tiskul mitzvahs. That is considered a much higher level of ribis, of much higher level, and that would be considered ribis tvarim, and in fact that's the Ritva's whole raya, why the Rabbi Yitzchak is correct, that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin. Says the Gemara, we're suggesting that the machloikas Rabbi Lezer of Akiva is around the concept of what Rabbi Yitzchak introduced, is the malva the owner of the mashkin? That the Gemara is saying that's the opinion of Akiva. Or is the malva not considered the owner of the mashkin? The opinion of Rabbi Lezer, says the Gemara, that can't be. Because Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, says the Gemara, as the wording of the Brice implies, are talking about a mashkin that was given at the time of the loan. Says the Gemara of Tisbara, Eim Adam Rabbi Yitzchak. Even Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin, he only says so, Shemishkin or Shaloi B'Shas Alva, when the mashkin was given at a later time, not at the actual time of the loan. However, Mishkanoi b'shas alvah, a mashkin that was given the actual time of the alvah, mi omer, would even Reb Yitzchak be of the opinion that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin? It's only mashkin that's given later. And here too we have a machloikis. What does it mean, Shemishkanoi shalei b'shas alvah? Two pshatim. One pshat is, as the wording of the Gemara implies, that the mashkin wasn't given when the loan was made, rather when the loan became due, malva approaches the loiva, pay me. The loiva doesn't have to pay, so the loiva at least at that point has to give a mashkin. That's one pshat. Others say that that is not enough for Rabbi Yitzchak to say that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin. Rather, there's another element involved, and that is that it was mishkin or shloi b'shas avah, that the mashkin was only given later when the loan became due, and moreover, it happened in Bezdin. Would a malva got Bezdin involved and said to Bezdin, this loiva's not paying me my alvah, and Bezdin forced the loiva to give the mashkin, then, and only then, does Rabbi Yitzchak say that the malva becomes the owner of the mashkin? But that isn't what Rabbi Lezer and Akiva are speaking about, asked the Gemara. Because Rabbi Lezer and Akiva asked the Gemara, are speaking about a mashkin that's given at the time of the loan. Says the Gemara, Ela mishkin ashlei b'shas alvasoi, if the mashkin was given not at the time of the loan, later on, as we just explained, says the Gemara, suggests the Gemara, Kulam loy pligi, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva will both be of the opinion, this led Rabbi Yitzchak, that certainly the Malva becomes the full-fledged owner of the Mashkin, and if therefore something happens to the Mashkin, it's going to be his responsibility. For Hacha, rather, what is the Machloikis here all about? The Mishkin Abishas Alvasai, a Mashkin that was given at the time of the loan, and the question is, how do we look at somebody who receives a Mashkin? Do we look at him as a Shai Mechinam, or do we look at him as a Shai Mesachar? Which we know, Pasuk and Pasuk Mishpatim, we discussed the great length of Masecht B'Metzia. A Shai Mechinam is not Chayv B'Gneva Aveda, and a Shai Mesachar is Chayv B'Gneva Aveda. And here the question is, how does the Halacha look at a B'Shomer Aveda Kamifki? How does the Halacha look at somebody who's a Shomer Aveda? Ditmar, Shomer Aveda, someone who is a Shomer Aveda, Rav says he's considered like a Shai Mechinam. He's not getting paid for this, so he's a Shai Mechinam. Rav Yosef Omer, Kishai Mesach Adam. This is what's known throughout Shas as the famous concept of Pruta de Rav Yosef. Since the person who's watching an Aveda is doing a mitzvah, and we know there's a klal that somebody's doing a mitzvah is part of a mitzvah, and the Gemara in Masech B'Metzia has two ways of explaining Rav Yosef. One way of explaining Rabbi Yosef is that since doing a mitzvah brings with it a schar, and therefore since it brings with it a schar, he's deserving of he's a shayim sachar, and a shayim sachar is chayiv b'gneiva v'aved. That's the one pshat. Most Rishonim don't work with that pshat in this Gemara. Most Rishonim rather work with the pshat that we have a rule of oisik b'mitzvah patim b'mitzvah. That somebody who's doing a mitzvah doesn't have to do another mitzvah. So somebody is a Shomer Aveda. If somebody is a Shomer Aveda, so he's potter from giving tzedakah. If while he's busy with the Aveda, somebody will approach him, he won't have to give tzedakah. And that's why he's considered a Shomer Sachar, and that's why he's Chayev B'Gneva Aveda. And the Gemara wants to suggest that this concept that Rav Yosef just said, and we'll come back to it in a moment, is actually machlokes tanoim. And as Mefarshim say, Rava, who considers him a shay mechinam, certainly has to agree with Rav Elezer, because it was lost here. And if it was lost, he's not going to be held responsible. The question is regarding Rav Yosef. And the Gemara is saying that Rav Yosef's concept that is considered a shay mesachar is actually machlokes of Rav Elezer and Rav Akiva. Rav Elezer not agreeing with Rav Yosef, and Rabbi Kiva agreeing with Rabbi Yosef, and that's why according to Rabbi Lazar, since he's not a Shem Sachar, because he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yosef, he agrees with Rava, he'll be Mechayef, he won't be Chayef for an Aveda, whereas Rabbi Kiva agrees with Rabbi Yosef, and therefore he's considered a Shem Sachar, he'll be Chayef for Gneva Aveda. However, the Rishonim point out, push the concept, that let's say somebody's a Shem Aveda, I find something in the street and I bring it home. Does that mean that I'll never have to do a mitzvah while I'm watching that Aveda? Until the owner comes and claims his item, I'm free from all mitzvahs? The Rishonim say, certainly that won't be the case. Machlokes Rishonim is, how far will not be the case? Some Rishonim are of the opinion that, oh, as long as I'm busy with Aveda, the halach is that somebody who finds an Aveda has to care for it. So whenever I'm caring for the Aveda, I'll be potter from giving tzedakah if a poor person is going to approach me at that moment. But certainly, when I'm not doing anything with Aveda, just sitting in my house, waiting for the owner to claim it, I won't be potter. There are Rishayim that have more machmer, that say that the only time a Shomer Aveda is potter is only at the actual moment when he finds the Aveda and picks it up. Any other time, even if he's busy with the Aveda, certainly if he's not busy with the Aveda, but even if he's busy with the Aveda, he won't be potter, because he didn't have to take care of the Aveda at that moment that the poor person approached him. He could have taken care of the Aveda another time and give the poor person his tzedakah. Why does Rava disagree? So Mefarshim give a number of explanations why Rava doesn't agree that somebody who's Shomer Aveda, why is he not considered an oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah? Some say, because it's loy shkiach, that a person punct when he's taking care of the Aveda, at that very moment, a poor person will approach him. That's not considered something that's likely to happen, that we should consider Mishraim HaSachar, that he's benefiting by taking care of the Aveda, that he saves giving the tzedakah. Another pshat I saw in an explanation of Rabbah is that when somebody picks up an Aveda, his purpose in picking up the Aveda is not to save himself from having to have to give tzedakah. Somebody finds an Aveda in the street and he says, wow, by me picking up this Aveda, I'll be able to save myself that if somebody approaches me with tzedakah and I'm punk taking care of the Aveda, or punk when I'm picking up the Aveda, this person will approach me and I'll be able to say, you know what, I don't have to give you anything. I'm right now oisik b'mitzvah. That's not the way people think. And that's why he doesn't become a Mishraim HaSachar. A third pshat that I saw in explanation of Rabbah, a beautiful pshat. What is the Gemara suggesting? That what is his benefit? That he saves himself from giving tzedakah. Jews aren't happy about saving themselves from giving tzedakah. On the contrary, we want to give tzedakah. And therefore saying, you know what your benefit is, that you don't have to give tzedakah? That's not a benefit, Rabbi says. That's something we don't want even. And therefore it can't be considered a Shem HaSachar. It can't be considered a benefit. Furthermore, asked the Rishonim, according to this line of reasoning, why a Shem HaChinam? If somebody comes to me and asks me to watch an item of his, and I do a mitzvah, that I'm saying, fine, I'll do you a favor. You need me to watch it, I'll watch it. I'm not asking for anything in return. Why is a Shem HaChinam always not considered the same as Oisik B'mitzvah? And the halacha was saying now is that given the concept of Rabbi Yosef, he should be considered like a Shem HaSachar. He's getting that mitzvah, and therefore he should be considered Oisik B'mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah, and therefore he should always be Chayv Gnev Aveda. Yet as we know, and we've quoted a number of times, in today's shir, a Shem HaChinam is Potem Gnev Aveda. So some Rishonim suggest that that is exactly what the Shem HaChinam accepts upon himself. The Shem HaChinam accepts upon himself to watch the item for free. And he's not doing it l'shay as the mitzvah. That's part of his chayvus, that he's going to watch the item, care for the item, not for any benefit, not with any intentional benefit. So the Gemara has now suggested that the machlokes of Elazar Kiva is the machlokes if we follow Rav and Rabbi Yosef. We're Rabbi Elazar agreeing with Rava and Rabbi Kiva agreeing with Rabbi Yosef. Says, well, not necessarily. It could well be the Kulamalis of Rabbi Yosef. Everybody agrees with Rabbi Yosef. So what is the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar all about? We're referring this to the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara to such a situation. The Malva lends money to the Loiva. Why? And they make an agreement that the Loiva will give whatever item to the Malva as a Mashkin. And they also agree that the Malva will have a right to use that mashkin, but as I said earlier, to avoid the problem of ribbis, the value of what he uses the mashkin will be deducted from the loan. And now the question is, the malva entering into this loan arrangement, the loiva, knowing that by lending the money to the loiva, he'll get use of this mashkin that he's anxious to use, the question is, what is his goal? Masav, the fact that he's interested in using the mashkin doesn't detract from the mitzvah that he's lending the money. And therefore, mitzvah covered. And we have the concept of Rav Yosef, of Oisik mitzvah, Potem in a mitzvah. And he benefits that he won't have to give the tzedakah when he's busy with the mashkin. And therefore, he's considered a Shem HaSachar, and he's Chayv Gnev Aveda, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Masover, on the other hand, Rabbi Lez is of the opinion, his goals here, his intentions here, aren't that altruistic. His real intention is to get the hold of the mashkin that he's anxious to use. And therefore, it's lab mitzvah covered. And therefore, here, the concept of Rabbi Yosef would not be applicable. So the Gemara goes back to where we started the shir, actually, yesterday's shir. And that is the concept of Shmuel, that somebody who receives a mashkin, if the mashkin is lost, it cancels the loan. So the Gemara wants to say, Lamech Tanoim, maybe Shmuel's din is a different machlokes Tanoim. We know the halacha is, according to most Rishonim, the end of the Shemitah year cancels all loans. There's one opinion that says at the beginning, the Rosh's opinion, but most Rishonim say that the end of the Shemitah year cancels all loans that are outstanding. However, the halacha is that if there's a mashkin on the loan, that loan is not cancelled by Shemitah. And how, says the Gemara, the machlokes perhaps is this then. Hamavas chaver al shmashkin. If somebody gave a mashkin, v'nichnas shmita, now the shmita year comes. There's a loan with a mashkin, and now shmita year comes. Says the brisa, abishen shava el palga. The example we gave earlier, where somebody lent $1,000, and the mashkin is only worth $500, ain't a mashamit. That loan will not be subject to the halachos of shmita. Divrei Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Yehuda Nasi Omer, Rav Yehuda Nasi disagrees. He says, "Im hayim mashkin akeneged chayvoy, if the value of the mashkin is equal or greater than the value of the loan, then the halach is ainu mashamit. That loan won't be subject to to cancellation by shmita. Halav mashamit, but if it's worth less, then it will be canceled." Ask the Gemara. Let's understand the machlokes of Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rav Yehuda Nasi. My ainu mashamit to come tanakama. What does the tanakama mean when he says that it's not canceled? Ilay mekenegdoi doesn't mean the example I gave that the $500 that the mashkin is worth won't that much will be protected. That much of the loan will not be canceled. Mechlal, and it's obvious. There are Yehudas of the opinion. The Yehuda Nasi Sover kenegdoi nami mashamit that it's even the value of the mashkin equal to that part of the loan. Our example, $500 mashkin, even though the loan is $1,000, $500 of the loan will also not be protected. Ask the Gemara, am I talking mashkin? We just said a moment ago that the mashkin does protect from cancellation of Shemitah. So how does it protect it? Elav, what's it referring to? Keneged Elav, it's talking about Knaga Kuloi. That means that even though the mashkin is worth less than the loan, again, our example, where the mashkin is worth $500 and the loan is worth $1,000, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is of the opinion that that loan will be entirely protected from cancellation due to Shemitah. Rav Yehuda Nasi says that only the value connected to the mashkin, the $500 of the loan will be protected, but not the entire loan. Why? They're arguing over the concept of Shmuel. Where Shmuel says, even though the mashkin is worth less than the entire loan, the mashkin, if it's lost, you don't have to pay for the loan, because the mashkin is considered corresponding to the entire loan. Rav Yehuda Nasi, and that's Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion, who will agree with Shmuel, and Rav Yehuda Nasi will disagree. And he's saying that the mashkin is only as much as the mashkin is worth, but it doesn't cover the entire loan. Says the Gemara Loi. It's talking about the Kenegdoi. It's referring to a situation that it's only the amount that it's equal to. Again, back to our situation. We have a loan of $1,000 and the mashkin is worth $500. At this point, the Gemara is saying like this. Welcome, Mifki. Tanakam Sover. Rav Shimon Gamliel, who's a Tanakama, he says that the value connected to mashkin is protected. Because as I said in my introductory remarks, the mashkin protects against cancellation by Shemitah. And therefore, if the mashkin is worth $500, even though the loan is worth $1,000, $500 of the loan is protected. Rav Yehuda Nasi holds that the mashkin doesn't protect at all. So we connect the name Meshamit. We asked, isn't that the purpose of the loiva giving the malva mashkin in order to protect himself, in order for the malva to protect himself, that Shemitah should not cancel the loan? Because we asked, the mitav slay, otherwise what is the purpose of the mashkin? The purpose of the mashkin is not to protect the malva from cancellation of Shemitah. Rather, as we've discussed already at the beginning of this year, mashkin isn't only here to be a protection. The mashkin is referring to a situation where there was no shtar. So how does the malva have proof that there was indeed a loan between him and the loiva? By giving a mashkin. And therefore, even if the mashkin is worth less than the loan, the mashkin doesn't protect it from any cancellation. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and Shimon Gamliel argue about. But if the amount above the value of the mashkin, the difference between the value of the mashkin and the value of the loan, that the mashkin is $500 and the loan is $1,000, that 500 differential everybody will agree is not protected. Says the Mishnah. We've learned in the previous parak a number of scenarios where the Torah requires somebody to make a shvuah. Ma'ida b'mitzvos, eid echad. What was the case that was always the type of shvuah that was made? Nishban v'lo mishalmim. Which means that, again, let's use the example of a ma'ida b'mitzvos, where I admit, you say I owe you $1,000, I admit that I owe you $500, so the Torah says I have to swear. I swear that I don't owe you more than $500. V'lo mishalmim, I won't have to pay the balance of $500. An eid echad. Or you bring in an eid echad that says that I owe you money, and I say, even though I claim I don't, I swear that I don't, and I'm free. But, says the Mishnah, there are certain cases, Veil Nishbon V'Noitlam, where the Torah says that the person who swears, and by him making the Shvuah, he will be able to keep what he swears about. Who are they? In each one of these cases, is explained in the Mishnah, it was illustrated in the Mishnah. Hasoch v'anigza v'anechba v'shekineg d'choshe r'shvua v'chen v'anyalten kosei. Machlokes rishonim, this shvua that we're discussing now, we learned in the previous parak that, for example, the shvua ma'ida b'mitzvos requires nikitas chayfetz, that the person, when he makes the shvua, hold the sefer Torah. Talmud Chacham could hold tefillin, but holding the sefer Torah, will nikitas chayfetz be required here? Similarly, we had a machlokes in the previous parak. We discussed quite extensively the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel, that there's a minimum amount involved in the case of Moed B'Mitzvahs, how much there has to be a kfira on, a denial on, how much there has to be a haidah of admission on, machlokes rishonim, if all of those rules will apply here, that there has to be a minimum value for the din of Nishbon v'Noitlam to apply, or it doesn't make a difference. So what is the case of an employee? Amalai, if an employee tells his employer, pay me my wages, Huimer, and the employer says, Nasati, I already paid you. I never received my wage. Is the halacha hu nishba v'noitel? He swears that he wasn't paid, and he collects his wages. And as we'll see in the Gemara why this halacha is this halacha. Nishba v'noitel, he swears. Machlokes rishonim, if the halacha is that if somebody is entitled to something, if he's typhus, if he seizes it, will that be acceptable? Machlokes rishonim, if tfisa here will be acceptable, then instead of swearing, he just goes and seizes, grabs what he's entitled to, will he be entitled? Another interesting machlokes rishonim is our Mishnah is teaching us, and as the Gemara will explain it more, that Chazal made a rule for the benefit of the employee, that the employee will swear, and by swearing, he'll be able to collect his wages. What would be the halacha if the employee says, you know what, let's turn the tables. If you, the employer, swear that you paid me, I'll accept that shvua, and I'll drop my claim for my wages. Can the employee turn the tables? Some rishonim are of the opinion, absolutely. That this entire takana was made for the benefit of the employee, and since it was made for the benefit of the employee, he could turn the tables and say, you know what, you swear, and then don't pay me. Other Rishonim disagree. And they say, once Chazal established that it's the employee who swears, he doesn't have a right to choose this way or that way. Chazal said that he has to swear, but Noitel will get a salary. There's also an interesting question. Why would be the halacha if the employee not only makes his claim that he wasn't paid, but he also brings an eid echad to back up his claim that he wasn't paid? Will he still have to swear, or does he collect his wages even without a shvua? It seems that's the opinion of the Ramah and the Shach, that he could collect his salary at that point even without a shvua. What about the other way around? Let's say the employer, besides saying that I paid you already, brings an eid echad that he paid. There it seems to be a machloikis if the employee still has the right to swear and get paid, or given that the employer not only makes this claim, but he also has an eid echad backing up his claim, then the employee can get his salary even with a shvua. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Achei shah mikseh tzaydah." It's just if we have a case where the employee says, "You didn't pay me," and the employee says, "I did pay you," with a tanakam the chacham hold nishma v'naito, that says that won't be the case. Achei mikseh tzaydah. In order for the employee to have the right, for the soch to have the right of nishma v'naito, there has to also be here a moedim mikseh, which means, ketzad. The employee says to the employee, "Employer, you owe me $50 for salary. You already got $25. That's when we have a moed of a mixus, and that's when nishma v'noitel. But if there's no moed of a mixus, then there's no nishma v'noitel. And as we'll see in the Gemara, the explanation for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is as follows. In the first case, where there's a Kaifra call, where the employer claims that he doesn't owe anything, there is no shvua midaraisa. So Yehuda finds it difficult to make a double chiyuv. First of all, to establish that a shvua should be made, where the Torah doesn't speak about a shvua, and then not only say that the shvua has to be made, but it should be a shvua of nishma v'noitel, which is contrary to the typical shvua of the Torah. Yehuda has a very hard time accepting that. Only, says Yehuda, where there's a might of a mitzvah, which was, we said at the beginning of the shir, at the beginning of the parak, which really we learned at length in the previous parak, that the might of a mitzvah, there is a chiyuv shvua deraisa. So here we already have a chiyuv shvua deraisa. Not as only a question who should make the shvua, here we turn it around and we say that the employee makes it nishma v'noitel. Nigzel keitzad. What is the case of nigzel? Hayim eidim noisai shenichnas lebeis ha'le mashkenai. Eidim come in and say that somebody walked into someone else's house. Loiva walked into the house of the Malva to take a mashkin. Shloi b'shus. It wasn't with b'shus bezdin. Hu oimer. And the Malva says, Keli natalti, you took my items without permission. Vu oimer loi natalti. And he says, never happened. Hu nishma v'noitel. He swears, the nigzal swears that this happens and can make a claim from the alleged gazlan. And Rabbi Yehuda again says, it has to be coupled with a moed of a mixus. Only in a case where the nigzal says to the gazlan, you took two of my items, and the gazlan says, there and only there will the halacha be nishma v'noitel. But if there's no moed of a mixus, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitosoi will not agree that we apply the concept of nishma v'noitel here. Nechbal ketzad. What's the case of a nechbal? We have a situation where there are only two people in a house, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven walked into the house completely healthy. And he walks out, he walked into the house completely well, the Yotze Chavel, and he walks out wounded. So there are two points to make. One is, we assume that a person didn't wound himself. Furthermore, the Rishonim explained that we're referring here to a situation where these two people actually have a dispute and they don't get along. So it's quite likely that indeed this person wounded this person. And that's what he now claims. You wounded me. And we know, as the Torah teaches us, that if somebody wounds somebody else, he has to pay him nezek tzar ripu sheva sabayshas. And he says, it never happened. I didn't do anything to you. Again, the opinion of the Tanakam is, I raise the nishma v'noitel. Yehuda disagrees, and he says, Achitesha mixes haidah. There has to be a mixes haidah, which means, Ketzabi, Omalai Chavalta Bishtayim, you hit me with two wounds, and therefore you owe me for both of the wounds that you made in me. Omalai Chavalti Bayalachas, I only did one. That's going to be, according to Yehuda, the case of nishma v'noitel. Otherwise, there is no nishma v'noitel.